Okay, the boys said today's daf is daf Ayin Tes, and we're holding the top two lines of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. As you recall, there was a ro'ov, there was a terrible famine in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. David HaMelech tried to find out the reasons for it, and 3 years passed, all the reasons that he gave did not pan out, and therefore he said, I have to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he asked the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim said that the reason for the famine are two. Number one, the Shol HaMelech was not nisped kahalocha, no proper hesped. And number two, because Shol HaMelech unfortunately caused the death of the Givonim. How did he cause the death of the Givonim? Not directly, but indirectly. As a result of killing out Noiv Ir Kehanim. Noiv Ir Kehanim were supplying food and water to the Givonim. Now they no longer had their suppliers. The supplier had been killed out, and therefore, ultimately, the Givonim passed away. So, when David HaMelech heard that those are the two reasons for the famine, he said, what can we do? So, starting on the final line of Ayin Ches Amid Beis, Amid David, Sho'ul Nafgalahu, top of Ayin Tes Amid Aleph, Tracy Yarchishot, there are more than 12 months since Sho'ul HaMelech's passing. Rashi says, parenthetically, Lav Dafka, was really 30 years since Shaul HaMelech's passing. For like Derech HaMisbidei, it's not the Derech to go and be Masbid 12 months after someone's passing. The Gemara Moed Katan, which Rashi also quotes, says that the reason why you normally don't make a Hesbid after 12 months because you're just really opening up sore wounds which had a chance to heal over the 12 months by going and being Masbid someone. Then the family listens to it and they become heartbroken again, and you're just bringing back the sorrow that had a chance to already settle over the year. So there's nothing we can do about that first issue. But the second issue, and that is that unfortunately Shaul HaMelech had killed out Noiv Ir Kehanim, which led to the death of the Givonim. What should we do? Nesinim nekrinu v'nefaisinu. Let's go and call the Nesinim who are left, presumably the children or grandchildren of Mishpucha, from those that had passed away. Let's call them, and if I sin, let's see what we can do to appease them. And therefore it says in the Pasuk, the Bach adds the word Miyad, Vayikra HaMelech leGivonim, he called the Givonim, and he said to them, Mo'esu lechem, ubo machaper, uboruchu es nachas Hashem, what can we do to try to appease you, and that you should be happy again, and that you should, Rashi not over here, but Rashi on that pasuk says, "Baruch Hu Nachas Hashem," that you should be mispalel on our behalf that this terrible ro'ov, this terrible famine, should leave us. You are the source. You are the reason for the famine because of your family members that were killed. Can we appease you in any way that you should go and come back on our side? We should be on good terms with one another. But Yoyim Aliyah Givonim, and the Givonim said, "Ein lanu kes v'zov im shaul v'im beisai." We are not asking for money. In other words, we're not looking for monetary compensation. The Inlanu Ish. Inlanu Ish means that we don't want anyone from Klal Yisrael other than from the Malchus or from the Mishpacha of Beishol. What we do want is Yutan Lanu Shiva Anoshim Ibanav, seven of his children, meaning of Shaul's children or his Einiklav, Vaikanam Lashem, and we want to be able to go and kill them and hang them up for all to see what he caused us, all this grief and all this sorrow. This would be a nice revenge. David HaMelech obviously wasn't happy with this. Mephias, he tried to appease them, and unfortunately all of his efforts were for naught. And then David HaMelech said, there are three simanim that really classify Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are Rachmanim, Baishanim, V'goyim L'chasodim. And these fellows, unfortunately, do not share these three character traits with Klal Yisrael. And then that was the time that David HaMelech then was goyzer on them. And that's why we started off this Gemara yesterday, that even before Yeshua, not in the times of Yeshua, in the times of David HaMelech was goyzer on the Givonim, that they should be choytvei etzim v'shoy avi moyim, that therefore they shouldn't have a shaychus to Klal Yisrael. We will allow them to keep on their status as Gerim, as converts, but we want to keep our distance from them. Now, what were the three simanim of Klal Yisrael? Rachmanim Baishanim, Gerim Bechasonim, Rachmanim Dechsev, Nos Lachorachmim, V'richamcha V'hirbecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us rachmanis, in other words, he's going to have compassion and mercy on us, and as a result, richamcha, that we ourselves are going to develop this midah of rachmanis, of compassion. V'hirbecha. Ba'isharim d'chziv, ba'avur tia yirosei al p'nechem levilti sechato. So that's the inyan of busha, that we are ashamed to go and show our faces before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of our yirish shemayim, that we say, oi, look at these terrible aveirois that we did. So that's the inyan of the midah of busha. Goyim lechasorim dechziv leman ashi yitzav esbanu v'speisei achav v'shomu derech Hashem lasis tzedaka u'mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying about Avraham Avinu that he is teaching his children and his mishpacha and the household and everybody else to go and do tzedaka, to go and do gemilas chesed. And therefore that's the third of the three characteristics of Klal Yisrael. Koshi yesh lo yishloish yisimanam halolu ro liyidovik b'umazu. Whoever has these three manam, he has the right, or he's worthy to go and join this Yiddish folk, Klal Yisrael. But unfortunately these three don't have that, or these givonim or nesinim don't have that. They don't have that rachmanus. If they would have rachmanus, they wouldn't go and demand blood. We have to have children of the Shaul HaMelech and go and kill him. Yutan lanu shiva anoshim, seven people. Why do they need that? After all, time has passed, time heals all wounds, so they shouldn't demand that. It shows that they're not worthy to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So what happened, in fact? So it says, Vayikach, so now Shaul, not Shaul, David HaMelech went and took, Vayikach HaMelech, es shnei b'nei ritzpa bas aya, ashe yolda l'shaul, es armoini v'es mefi boishes. He took two sons of Ritzpa Bas Aya. This Ritzpa Bas Aya gave birth to Shaul, two sons. Who are the two sons? Armoni and Mephibosheth. And besides that, he also took Ves Chameshes B'nei Michal Bas Shaul, five children of Michal, the daughter of Shaul. So these are already Eneklach. Ashi Yoldel Adriel Ben Barzilai HaMechilasi. So therefore, if you take the first two, Ritzpa's two sons, and you take the five sons of Michal, 5 + 2 = 7, and he handed them over to the Nesirim. The David HaMelech had nothing to do with executing them. This was the Givonim, they took them, and they did what they did. How did David HaMelech select these seven in particular? He went and had them pass by the Oren, that's the Oren of the Beis HaMikdash, Kosh Oren Koltai, the Mesa, whichever one that the Oren would. Now, the word klita means absorb. Like you have in Eretz Yisrael, the vad haklita, the misrad haklita.
Reception.
Klita.
Immigration.
We use a klita there means absorption. It's the ministry of absorption.
Ari Miklat.
Oh. So they absorb people and they shelter people, people that want to immigrate, they want to shelter them, and they take them into the country, etc. Here, the Oren Koltoi, the art scroll, uses the term detain. In other words, they came in front of the Oren and they kind of froze in place. Maybe their shoes got stuck to the ground as if they were glued. So, Kosh Oren Kol Toi Lemisa, all those that were detained by the Oren went Chas Hashem Nemch Lemisa. Kosh Ein Oren Kol Toi, whichever the Oren was not koilet, b'chaim. So, it was able to move on. So, apparently it wasn't these seven, but they're 20 or 50 or 100, we don't know how many, that passed by the Oren. Many of them, most of them, went l'chaim, and these seven were stuck there.
Excuse me.
Mozev Rav Chana Bar Kitina. Rav Chana Bar Kitina asked, we have a pasuk by Yachmel HaMelech. The Melech had Rachmonis on the Fiboishes Ben Yehoinesin Ben Shaul. As we know, David HaMelech was very close to Yehoinesin, so he had Rachmonis on the Fiboishes, the son of Yehoinesin, Shloi Hevish, period. So now the question is, ask Rav Chana Bar Kitina, you're telling me that the decision was made by the Oroin. So what does it mean that the Melech had Rachmonis on the Fiboishes? It's nothing to do with his Rachmonis. Did the Oren detain him or did the Oren not detain him? Evdimar Shalavirai. Shalavir means that David HaMelech told Mephibosheth, don't stand online, stay at home, don't get online in front of the Oren. Is David HaMelech allowed to pray favorites in this type of case? After all, we're talking about Din and the Fashis, he should have sent all of them past the Oren. So tomorrow you're right, Elah Shevira, Hitaka was Mavir, the Koltoi, and the Oren went and was Koilit, absorbed or detained him, or Bikish Lav Rachmim, and then after that David HaMelech went and said Tilim, David HaMelech was very good with Tilim, or Poltoi, and then the Oren released him so that he could go home. And again, the Gemara asked the same question again. Is there favoritism? Because what's going to happen now, says Rashi, since he was already part of the lineup, Chas Shalom from Misa, he was already Niklat, by now going and saying Rachmim, by going the Bakish Rachmim, what's going to happen now is he is going to be saved, and somebody else is going to have to go and fill his shoes and pass away instead of him. So again, can you go and show favoritism like that? He was mispiled in advance. Avad, he had him go online together with everybody else. And therefore, he had the same chance as everybody else, Chas v'Shalom, to be detained by the Aron. So therefore, David HaMelech said, tell him in advance. And by saying to him in advance, Baruch Hashem, the tefillin was accepted, the tefillos were accepted, and therefore the Aron was not, did not detain him after all. The Chayyur one can go and ask once again, Vakati Mas Uponim Yesh Bedobar, is there favoritism over here? So the Meforshim explain, if he would already be Niklat, and now we're Mavakish Rachman, that he should be free, and therefore somebody else is going to have to take over that place, that would be a Gitakasha. How could David HaMelech do that? He's going to spare Mifi Boishit, but somebody else will have to go and take the place. Over here, the Oren wasn't coiled him yet. So therefore, before the Kalita, then David HaMelech can be mispal, that there should not be any detention through the Oren, and therefore, whoever passes later on, that's not that he's filling the shoes of someone who had already been selected. He wasn't selected because David HaMelech was mispal on his behalf not to be selected, and those tefillos were heard, and that's why it says V'yachmoy LaMelech, that the David HaMelech had Rachmanis Amithi Boishis, the Tillim was accepted, and the Oren was not coined him. But I don't understand, how are these seven going to be executed for the sins of their father? Is that fair? The point that you made is a valid point. However, we don't really mean here ois achas, we mean the whole pasuk should be ne'ekar, and you'll have a kasha. But there shouldn't be a chil shem shemayim befasim. What's a chil shem shemayim befasim? So Rashi says in the middle of the Amud, al yischal shem shemayim shiyu umais oimrim. We don't want other nations to say about Klal Yisrael, ein umazu ruuyim lidovig ba. This umma is not roi that we should wish to cleave and attach ourselves to them. Shari posh yedeim begeirim. Can you imagine? This mighty nation went and they poshet yad against Gerim. Gerim are the lower echelons of society, meaning these are not their own people that join them. Litham is only saying to go and take advantage of them, to take away their food. And there was never any, nobody was ever brought for din. Yeah, they have to go and have justice. Justice was not done when they took in these Gerim. So in other words, we don't respect our Gerim. We don't take good care of them. Quite to the contrary, we let them, Chas v'Shalom, be slaughtered by others, and we don't care. So this would be a terrible Chil Hashem. So therefore, we have to go and stand up for them and say, no, Gerim are as important as Klal Yisrael, and we have to stand up for their rights and do justice, etc.
The whole thing doesn't really make sense to me.
Why does it make sense?
Because Zoe filled out the
Noif.
Noif's Iroquanim, and as a consequence of that, the Nisinim had trouble.
Exactly.
But they had power to go and make a living another way. Mm-hmm. Why are the connection of that to Shaul's responsibility and attenuated now, 30 years later, that his children should die? It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. It's difficult to understand. You understand the plain, simple, superficial.
Right, right. The accountability of Shaul's children for an action his father took, against the Federal Reserve raised interest rates, trillions of dollars have been wiped out. So should his children be killed because he destroyed the wealth of all these people?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, Shaul was king. You know.
Okay, Brother Shai, please repeat that. We didn't hear the first few words.
No, I'm saying I think you have to see it in the bigger context. It was the Gibonim and Yer Kohanim that it's all probably parceled together.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, it wasn't just a new monetary regulation on the part of the Fed, but it is a result of the execution of the Noiv people and the Yer Kohanim. That's what caused this indirect effect.
And they sheltered David, who was Morid B'Malchus. From Shaul's perspective, it was legitimate. I mean, you're the whole thing is so remote and it's and defense. I mean,
difficult to understand.
Very
difficult. And now the Gemara tells us further that after they were executed by the Nesinim and they were hung up, for a lengthy period of time, as we'll see in the Gemara, for several months. And during that period of time, Tikach Ritzpa Basaya. Ritzpa Basaya, as you recall, was the mother of two of them that we listed in the pasuk before, Armoni and Mephibosheth. And what did she do? She was concerned that the bodies would lay there, or they would be hanging there, and they would become now fodder for animals and wild animals and for the birds. Batikach Ritzpa Basaya Esasak. She took a sack. Batteu lo al hatzor el hatzor. She put it on a large boulder. Metchilas katzir ad netach mayim aleya min hashamayim. And she sat there and she lay there for the period of time from the beginning of the katzir, that would be roughly April May time, ad netach mayim aleya min hashamayim until roughly September October time when it begins to rain again at the beginning of the winter season. And she was careful not to allow any vultures to come and lay on or get close to the bodies of these seven, as well as any wild animals at night. So she kept watching there for the next few months. You're not supposed to allow anyone who was executed to hang for more than that day. As soon as it says, you take the body down and you go and bury it. How do they allow these bodies to go and not lie there, but hang there for several months? Again, the Gemara gives the same terrence. What's the Kiddush Hashem? Now, passers-by would say, Mativan shel elu. Who are these seven that are hanging there? They would answer, Halol ben Malachim. Wow, these come from the house of the Melech? Really? There's accountability against the government, against the king. Umma also, what do they do? Pashti Yadei and Megeim Gerurim. They went and they were Poshit Yad. In other words, they caused for the poverty and ultimately the famine and the dying of Gerim Gerurim. And then, therefore they were punished. It's almost, now the passers-by say, wow, there is no better nation than this that one should wish to attach yourself to. Madach that they're punishing b'nei b'lochem, b'nei hajoytas lachs kam b'kama. Can you imagine commoners? It would really go and punish them for starting up with gerim. Uma gerim gerurim kach yisrael lachas kam b'kama. And madach gerim that are considered to be, and certainly the Nesinim, who were had the menial jobs of choyt v'eitzim she'av v'moyim, woodchoppers and water drawers, that those was considered to be, you know, the lowest level of blue collar workers, and we're defending them. Can you imagine if we were defending Yisrael Achskam Bakama, great economists, great politicians, great CEOs, CFOs, chairman of the board of corporations, real great Kanakers, then for sure one would go and take Nakama for Chas Hashem, for their death. And therefore, people said, this is really a wonderful nation that is so careful about everybody. 150,000 new Gerim joined the ranks of Klal Yisrael. How do I know? Shnem says the pasuk in the Shloimei, 70,000 that were schleppers. Sabol means carrying loads, burdens. Ushmoinim elef choitzev bahar, and 80,000 that would go and carve out in the mine quarries, go and carve out minerals, etc. And therefore, these are 150,000 new gerim. Right, tomorrow, we didn't say the word ger. I just see it says that Shlomo had 80,000 schleppers and 70,000 that would go and cut in the people digging in the mine quarries. So tomorrow, then we say, well, but maybe these were 150,000 regular yidden. But well, it's okay, it cannot be. Israel, may not say Shlomo Eved. Shlomo Melech didn't allow any yidden to be avodim. So says him, okay, the Dilma Dugs are Bialma. Who says that these 150,000 were slaves? Maybe they were all hired workers, hired engineers, employees, and they were all getting fringe benefits, and they were getting salaries. Who said we're talking about it? Says Yimar, you're 100% right. And we also have another right. It says in the Bible, Yispar means to count. He counted how many gerim there were. But he saw 150,000. Now, what did he do with 150,000? He gave them the jobs. They had to be. They all had to have panasa. So he gave them the jobs of being the schleppers, carrying all the burdens, and those that would go and be the dig out the quarries, etc. So we see from this long, long story that Nesimim, David HaMelech was goyzer on them, this meaning these menial jobs of being the choytz ve'eitzim, she'avi moy. Pray tomorrow, David goes aleim. Moshe goes aleim. This is really talking to Moshe, baby. Dechsim, choytz ve'tzechel, ad shoy ev me'mecha. Now this pasuk really doesn't say that they were Nesinim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Goyzer. However, this is a pasuk at the very beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. And the Parshas Nitzavim begins, after Nitzavim Hayom, Kulchem, Atnei Hashem, Akechem, Rasheichem, Shefteichem, Tignechem, Shetreichem, Koil Ish Yisrael, everybody in Klal Yisrael, Koil Ish Yisrael. And then the next pasuk says, Tapchem Nesheichem, the Geruch Hashem Bekerem Machanecha, even the Gerim are standing here in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, explain the Mephoshim that it cannot be that we're talking about from Yisrael, because they already said Kol Ish Yisrael. We already identified all the different categories and the ranks and levels, etc., among Klal Yisrael. And then we said also the Gerim. Those are the Tapchem Sheikhem, the Ger Chashem Bekerem Machanecha. So who are these? These were the Gevoinim, the Moshe Rabbeinu was going on them as well. Now, although it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that they tried to dupe Moshe Rabbeinu, but apparently they also did the same thing in each generation, first by Moshe and then by Yeshua, that they would say that we're coming from a far off land, and then after that they accepted them with a bris, and then they went and it turned out that these were bad guys, because they duped them. They said, we're coming all the way from Australia, South Africa, and they really come from Eretz Yisrael. They're among the seven Canaanite nations. I can pronounce it as well as Ariel does. Anyway, so therefore, they made them into Choyt V'techa, Choyt Memecha. So this is already from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And for the more, Moshe Gozel Hudara, Moshe Rabbeinu was Gozel for that generation. David Gozel Kuli Dara for all future generations. Right, tomorrow. But before David HaMelech, the Kati Yeshua goes alive. Wasn't Yeshua goes in Tichsif? Vayitnem Yeshua beyemahu chayt v'yetz v'sheh v'moyim. Le'eda v'lemizbach Hashem. Both for serving on behalf of the Eda as well as for the Mizbech. So that's, in fact, the name Nesinim comes from Vayitnem, that Yeshua went and placed them into these menial positions. So what did Yeshua do? And for the more Yeshua goes in Mizmach v'yitzvish kayim. Yeshua was only Goyzer as long as the Beis Hamikdash was standing. And the Gemara brings a Raya, Rashi says, for the fact that he says that they're going to be Choyt V'Yetzim She'av V'Mayim L'Mizbeach Hashem, for the Mizbeach. Ah, so as long as the Beis Hamikdash is standing, that's as long as Yeshua's decree or legislation
was enforced.
David goes on to Beis Hamikdash Kayim. David said, no, we're going to make the Gezer, we're going to extend it until Mashiach, for all generations, that the Nesinim will be in these menial positions of Choyt V'Yetzech Ad Shoy Memech. So tomorrow, be made ready. Yes, sir, Jeff.
Good morning. Where are we holding? I'm not in the car today, so I can look alone.
No problem. We are just starting the top of Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We just finished the Amud Aleph. You're welcome. We're in the top of Ayin Tes Amud Beis.
We're going to use a good defense attorney.
That's why Jeff wasn't here. That's what happened. When you're not here, that's what happens. Anyway, we made Rebbe when Rebbe came into being, when he became the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, Bikshu, not he, but Bikshu, other people in his generation, wanted to be Lahata Nesinim, to finally take off this Issu that was placed on Nesinim. Toisis asks, isn't this a problem being Vatal Devri Bezim Chaveroi? Unless you happen to be Godel, the Chochma Ubaminyan, and we don't have that over here. So Toysis says, Alz Hefke Bezen Hefke. That is the first full Toysis here on the right hand side. Anyway, they want to be Matan the Sinim. Omelhem, so Rebbe said to them, Omelhem Rebbe, Chalkeinu Natir. Our Chalik, we could theoretically be Matir, based on Hefke Bezen Hefke. In fact, that's what Rashi says at the top. However, Chalik Mizbeach Miyatir. How can we be mevater or be mafke the chelik mizbeach? That doesn't belong to us. And since we had in the pasuk that Yeshua put them la'eda of mizbeach Hashem, so they belong also to the gizba of the Beis Hamikdash, so to speak. Even though in the times of Rebbe, the gizba of the Beis Hamikdash didn't live any longer. We'll talk about that in a moment. Therefore, Rebbe said, we don't have the koyach, we don't have the authority to go and free the Nesinim from these restrictions. However, what Rebbe said argues with what Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba said. What's Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba? Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, Rebbe Yechanan, Chelik Eda Li Oilam. The Chelik of Eda went forever. In other words, Yeshua's Takana, V'yitneim Yeshua, Le'eda, or the Mizbach Hashem, that goes forever. The Eda, the Tziba lives forever. That's Taka Chelik Eda Li Oilam Aser. But Chelik Mizbeach, that's only Aser based on Yeshua's decree, B'mach Beis Minish Kayim. Aser. And Beis Minish Kayim is Shari. Yet the David HaMelech Taka continued on the Gezerah for all generations, but only for the Chelik Eder. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, then there's no Chelik of the Gizbar, no Chelik Mizbeach. And so therefore one would be able to be matir the Nesinim, because Al Tzachedek Eder, Hefker Bezen Hefker, Al Tzachedek Eder, it's non-existent. There is no Mizbeach left. However, that's the machlekes between Rebbe and Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Rebbe says no, even though there's no Mizbeach today, however, the Chelik Mizbeach remains, therefore we cannot go and mimavater and mafkir that Chelik, and therefore the restrictions still apply. While Reb Chiya Bar Abba said no, that there's no Mizbeach, then there is no restriction, and therefore we do have the ability to be mafkir them, hefker bez nefker. Okay, so we finished this lengthy sugya about Nesinim, and now we start a brand new Mishnah, and we're going to talk about Sarisim, a Saris. Saris, as everybody knows, means a person, Rachman Litzlan, who is sterile, he's barren, he's not able to have children. And as we're going to see, some Sarisim can affect Chalitza, and some cannot affect Chalitza. Now that goes both ways, meaning if you have a Saris who's a Yavam, he can affect Chalitza and some cannot, as well as if the mess, the husband who passed away, if he was a Saris. Sometimes we say that we have to give Chalitza to his wife, to the widow, and sometimes we say not. When yes, when not, that's going to be the discussion of our Mishnah and the Gemara. Zok Gemara, oh, Zok the Mishnah, Amar Yeshua, Shemati, I heard, Shehasaris Chalitz, V'cholzul Yishtai. That number one, the Saris can be Chalitz. If the Yovam is a Saris, he has the ability and the authority to go and give Chalitza. And Chotzul Yishtoi, if the Saris was the one that passed away, that there is a Chiv of a Zika to the remaining, the surviving Yovams, and they have the right and the duty to go and give Chalitza to the wife. But that's one side. I also heard, V'hasaris loy Chalitz, v'loy Chotzul Yishtoi. Just the opposite. That neither can the Saris perform Chalitza, nor, if he were to pass away, is there a Chiyav of giving Chalitza to his wife. Namely, the Farish and Bishur says, I don't understand. These two obviously are contradictory. When Yah, when Nisht, I don't know. So Rabbi Kiva says, Aliyah Farish, I think I know the answer to the question. It depends whether it's a Saris Adam or a Saris Chama. Saris Adam means that the person became sterile later in life. In other words, he was born a regular, normal, healthy child, and as a result of his birth, he would have, should have, could have fathered children. But unfortunately, something happened subsequently, either a trauma situation or a machla situation, where initially he was able to, but unfortunately, subsequently, he lost the ability to go and impregnate his wife. So, even though now, unfortunately, he is not able to go and father children, but he had at one time. That's already enough for purposes of Chodetz V'chotz L'Ishtai. While Sris Chama means that he was born that way. Rashi says that he was when he was born, he was already in Nebuchadnezzar Sris Chama, not able to have children. He was never in the parasha of being able to have children, so therefore there's no din whatsoever of Yibam Chalitza regarding that Saris. The Gemara is going to discuss these Saris in greater detail shortly.
This, medically, if I determine whether a person is able to have children or not.
How can you determine it?
I Are there simanim here that would indicate the person's condition?
So if you please turn to Pei Amud Aleph, the top line. You have Pei Amud Aleph, the top line?
Yes. Yeah.
You see the last two words on the line?
Mani
Yadina. How do we know? Exactly okay. Your question. So Met Shem, the Gemara will address it. We'll either discuss it today or discuss it tomorrow when we get to it. Continuing on the mission, this was Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva answered Rabbi Yeshua by saying, Sris Adam, there is a din of Chalitza. Sris Chama, there is no din of Chalitza. And the distinction again between Sris Adam and Sris Chama is, Sris Adam means that at one time he was healthy, he was able to have kids. Sris Chama means he never had that ability and that health. He had a health problem from birth. Therefore, no Chalitza whatsoever. Rabbi Lazar Oymer Loi. Reb Lezer says just the opposite of Reb Akiva, and he says that if a child is born a Sris Chama, then there must be something, a medical issue, and you go to the doctors, and the doctors have all of their medical means where they're able to go and cause this person to no longer be sterile, to be able to go and father children. Sris Adam, on the other hand, which is typically either a major accident or chas v'sholem, some sort of debilitating disease of some sort. Unfortunately, here there's no way of saving the guy. In other words, no way of taking away his sterility. And therefore, no chalitza, because he's never a permanent sris. Says the Mishnah now, who's right and who's wrong, how do we paskin? So, hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseda, al ben Megusas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseda told a story about a person who had the name Ben Megusas. The Mefarshim don't say what the etymology of that name is, but that was the person's name. Shoy B'Yishalai, he was a Sris Adam. Sris Adam means, as we said before, that he only subsequently became a Saris. He was born a regular individual, and then later on in life, unfortunately, he lost his ability to father children. And he passed away, leaving over a widow, the Yimuz Ishtoi, and they were Miyabim, his wife. In other words, the brother, the surviving brother, was Miyabim, his wife. Now, how could he be Miyabim, his wife? After all, the person that passed away was a Saris. So this is like Rabbi Kiva said. Rabbi Kiva said on the fourth line of the Mishnah, Ani Afarij, Saris Ris Adam, Choylitz V'choytzim L'Ishtoi. Neshoi Solishas Akoysh, and this was a Saris Adam. V'yimus ishtoi, and not only did they allow for chalitza, they even allowed for yibum, l'kayim de Rabbi Kiva, and that proves, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseda, that Rabbi Kiva is the one that we follow, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara is going to ask, then why does it say in the outset of the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva allows for chalitza? He should say we even allow for yibum. That would have been, of course, a greater chidush. The Gemara is going to address that shortly. And now the Mishnah repeats once again, Hasaris lecholitz for the Yavim. The Gemara is going to ask, why do we repeat it? We've been just talking about that for the last 5 or 10 minutes. So why does it have to say again, Saris lecholitz for the Yavim? V'chein, the same thing applies not only to Saris, but Eilonis. Now on the other side of the Chasen over here, if the wife was an Eilonis, an Eilonis is a woman that cannot, that she is sterile and she cannot have children, and typically she has simoni Eilonis, all different physical features to show that she doesn't have the feminine qualities of mothering, of having children. So what's a din by a hylenis? No chalitza, no yibam. The whole purpose of yibam chalitza, of course, of yibam, is to l'hakim l'ach of shame b'Yisrael. She's not able to because she's an hylenis. We'll talk about that further. Hasorish shecholatz liyivam by a soritz that gave a chalitza to his yivama. And we're talking about the type of soritz where loy choylitz v'loy choltzim li'ishtoi, depending on whether you hold like Rabbi Kiva or like Rabbi Lezer, from one of those sarisim where yibum chalitza does not apply, if he did a meaningless act of chalitza, loy basla, he doesn't pasel her l'kahuna. Normally we have the rule that an isha, a gerusha, or a chalutza would be psula l'kahuna. This chalitza was worthless. It's as if you go over to a young lady in the street who you have no connection with, and say, let's do chalitza. And she goes through the whole ceremony, you pay her $50 or whatever, why should she go and bother? But anyway, the whole chalitza is meaningless because it doesn't apply. So therefore, like Pasa, she doesn't become psula likahuna. Boala, if the soris, instead of doing chalitza, if he was meyabim her and lived with her, pasla, Why does he pass? Does she then become pas lekuna? Because it's a be'ilas nus. What's a be'ilas nus? Says Rashi, if you have an eishes ach shaloi b'mokoyim mitzvah, meaning there is no mitzvah over here of yibam b'chalitza, but it was an eishes ach, then this brother-in-law, the brother of the nifter, but the brother-in-law of the widow, they're living together, it's an isra eishes ach. Shaloi b'mokoyim mitzvah, says chabila's nus. So then she becomes a zoyna, and a zoyna, of course, becomes prohibited to a koyim. V'chein islandess shechol tzulo achim. He told an islandess that she was a confirmed islandess, she can't have children. So the chalitza is also meaningless, because the islandess we said before, lechaletz, we miss a bemes. So if they did a chalitza, loy paslua, again it's meaningless. However, be alua, if someone lived with her, paslua, again they should be lost, a bilas nus, and the same reason that we gave before, because it's a bia of an eshes ach, shaloy v'mokhe mitzvah, so that's a real iser kareis. Therefore, she becomes a zoyna, and she becomes disqualified from marrying a kohen. Fine. Zokimar. We started off our Mishnah with Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva says, a sris odom choylitz v'choylitz v'lishnam neisha hoysaloi shasa koshin. Now, a typical case of a sris odom would fall into the category of what we learned a few days ago in the Gemara, and which we read about in Parshas Kisisa. I'm sorry, Kiseitze, that Leyove Ptsua Daka Khrushchevcha Bikal Hashem. If you remember in the Shabbos' Gemara, we went into some detail as to what's the definition of Ptsua Daka Khrushchevcha. We're on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, and we just finished the Mishnah, and we're about halfway down the Amud Beis. So what does it say in the Gemara? The Gemara is telling, or the Mishnah told us, that according to Rabbi Kiva, under certain circumstances, a Soris can be choletz v'choletz on the ishtai, which means, presumably, that he can also be miyabim. And in fact, you remember the story of the Ben Megusas that we quoted in the Mishnah, where they were miyabim as ishtai. So then, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is yibam v'chalitza by a sris odom. Now, sris odom, assuming that it was never a terrible accident, it was a car crash, chas v'shalom, or there was a building collapse, or whatever it was, and as a result, he no longer has the power of being able to go and father children. So, Ibazoi, he is now in this category of the Ptsua Daka Khrushchevcha. A Ptsua Daka Khrushchevcha is Liyavah B'Kal Hashem. If Liyavah B'Kal Hashem, it means it's an Isra Lav. Now, for us, meaning other than Rabbi Kiva, okay, it's an Isra Lav, but it's not an Isra Kari. Since it's Isra Lav, then Kiddushin is Toifsin. Since Kiddushin is Toifs, and then there's a din of Choyletz v'choletz v'lishtai. It's not a happy marriage, and unfortunately they're living in sin, but it's a marriage. Therefore, if it's being a marriage, then if Chas v'shalom, the husband passed away, and now you have the remaining brother, okay, I can understand why there's a din of Yimam v'chalitza. However, says the Gemara, we're talking about Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva escalates and elevates a chiyuve lav into chiyuve kares. And so therefore, when we go back to the first Mishnah in our Masechta, and we go and say that the Chamesh Esrei Noshim Poitris Tzari saying, not only are they potter because they are Ervis, they are Aroyas, but even the Tzaris are potter from Yibam Chalitza. According to Rabbi Kiva, we would expand that list many times to add all of the Isurei Lavin. We hold, other than Rabbi Kiva, only the Sakaris is potter from Yibam Chalitza. But according to Rabbi Kiva, every Isalav is potter from the din of Yim Chalitza. And therefore, Zutimar Mechli Shemin, Rabbi Kiva, the Amar. Chayovi Lavin, Kechayovi Krisis Dami. Chayovi Krisis, Labin, Echalitza, Yibam Dinu, like we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. So, Ibazoi, why are we even talking about, according to Rabbi Kiva, Sris Odom, Choylitz, Chalitza, the Ishtai, had a Shasa Koisha, Yosha Asa Koisha, Nisha Asa Koisha, Ezacha, Khrushchevcha, or Ptsuadaka. Ptsuadaka is the Chanisalab. Isalab is Issacharis, according to Rabbi Kiva. In other words, it has the same status like Issachar's. If it has the same status, then there's no din of chalitza v'yim at all. So Rabbi Kiva should say, l'shitasi, there's no such thing as a soris, which are choylitz v'chotzeli ishtoi. Choylitz narkakash. Om Rabbi Yochum Ha'iskin, we have to go and give a dochek pshat. We're talking about an amishik goyish nosa ochiv giyoyis. that the brother who passed away was married to a Giyos. So what does it have to do with anything? The only issur that the Torah gave on a Tzuadaka Krishavcha is loving the Kalashem. Kalashem means those who were born originally from Jewish parents, as opposed to Ger, notwithstanding the fact, V'haftamas a Ger, we love the Ger, but nevertheless, Kal Ger Likri Kol, and therefore the din of Tzuadak and Krishavcha doesn't apply. So there is no Issa Lav, so it's not like the Issa Karis, and there's no din of Lav and a Chalitz V'yibim. No, there is a din of Chalitz V'yibim, no problem, because the din of Tzuadak and Krishavcha doesn't apply. Once you're telling me that, why does Rabbi Kiva say in the beginning of the Mishnah that Choylitz v'choltzim li'ishtoi, it should say even miyamim li'ishtoi? So Tumor ein hachanami, you're 100% right. The idea of Rabbi Shua, since Rabbi Shua started off the Mishnah, Choylitz, that's how Rabbi Shua began. Rabbi Shua shamati, shesaris Choylitz v'choltzim, and I heard saris le'choylitz v'choltzim. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva adopts the same language used by Rabbi Yeshua in his Tamiya, when he said, in the Farish, I don't know how to explain it. So Rabbi Kiva says, I'll explain. This case, your Chaylitz Chaylitz Yishtai. This case, no Chaylitz Chaylitz Yishtai. But you're 100% right. Rabbi Yeshua, Chaylitz, even Ami Chaylitz. Dekanami, and I'll bring you a ride that that's the absolute truth. Diktani, like we learned in the Mishnah already. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira, Alben Megusas, Shehoi Yerushalayim. He was a Sris Adam. The Yemuas Yishtai. And what does the Mishnah say? That this Rabbi Shua ben Beseira said the kind of Rabbi Kiva, that obviously those people in Yerushalayim that allowed for ben Megusas to get married, they must have learned like Rabbi Kiva, that it's Ris Adam Chayitz v'Chayitz v'Lishtah, and that's why they allowed for Yibam. Look, Shema Mino is a clear cut raya, says our Gemara, that when Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah Chayitz lav davke Chayitz, but even miyabim liyishtoi mimnei shoyitz l'shasa kashim. Okay, so the Gemara got out of this very heavy-duty kasha. Said Rabbi is talking about a case where the brother had been married to a giyos. Masav Rabba. Rabba said you could say that pshat perhaps in our Mishnah. But I have a braisa. What does the braisa say? Ptsuadaka krishavcha, what we've been talking about. And it's Ris Ada, which again is the same as the ptsuadaka krishavcha. V'hazake, and an elderly individual who can no longer father children. Oy choyltsin, oy miyabim. All of them could be choylitz, or they could be miyabim. Ketzas, can you explain to me the details of this halacha? Meisu, if they died, meaning the Ptsudaka, Krishavcha, etc., Srisada, they died v'lem noshim, and they left over widows. V'lemachim, and they had surviving brothers. V'yomdu achim, v'osu maimer b'nishisayim. And the brothers went, and they performed maimer. Or nasnu get. Oy shecholtsu. Masha osu osu. What they did was valid. That chalitza worked. The imbalu kind of they did yibam. It also worked. Mesu achim. Now the other side of the equation. Not that the tzuadak or the saris died, but rather the brother died. The omduhein, and now the tzuadak or the saris, etc. Omduhein v'osu maimer shesem, and they performed the maimer. Or they nasnu get. Or chaltzu. Masha osu osu. Bimbalu kanu. All of these things work. However, you also the kaima, but you're not allowed to go and keep this wife. Mishum shenemali avoy b'tzua dakar krishavcha b'kal Hashem. Ah, so since we're saying liyum b'tzua dakar krishavcha b'kal Hashem, alma b'kol askinim. We're talking about kohol. If we're talking about kohol, that means either we're referring to yidin, in other words, born Jews, or if we're talking about gerim, we're going according to mandi yomah that holds that kal gerim ikri kohol. And therefore, this braisa must be going according to Rabbi Kiva. How do I know the braisa goes according to Rabbi Kiva? Because the braisa began with Sris Adam, that Cholzim and Miyam. Who's the one that holds in the Mishnah that Sris Adam, Cholzim and Miyam? This was Rabbi Kiva. Ah, so the same Rabbi Kiva says Sris Adam, Cholzim, and Miyam, like we had the case of the Ben Megusas. Ah, but it says over here, but you now let her hold on to the wife. If and when the Sris Adam was the one that did the bia, he was miyavein. Okay, he was mekayim the mitzvah, but he's not allowed to go and hold on and continue living with her because of the yisraeliyim of tzedakah. So it's obvious that this young lady must have been a bas yisrael, or if she was a giyoris, we would hold that kal gerim ikri kol. So then we're back to square one again. How does Rabbi Kiva permit Yibam v'chalitza isn't there a din of an isalav, the liyavi psuadaka? And this isalav, according to Rabbi Kiva, has the same status as an isakaris. And if it's an isakaris, it's like an erva, like we had in Daf Beis in the Mishnah. La b'nei chalitza b'yivam ninu. So how can we be talking about chalitza b'yivam? It doesn't make sense. Hello, my Rabbi. So Rabbi says I have a brand new pshat, both for the Braisa. We can adapt this pshat also for the Mishnah. Kigoyin shenof lo loy, flipsoif nivtza. It's talking about that initially, at the time of the passing of the mess of the brother, the surviving brother was, Baruch Hashem, agizuntel. He was totally normal. Everything was regular. And therefore, at the time of the Zika, they were ro'oi to have Yibam v'chalitza. For the Psoif, only subsequently, a day later, a month later, before they had the chance to do Yibam v'chalitza, he was in a car accident or whatever, and now he became a saris. Oh, about that person, we're saying that that saris odom has the mitzvah of all those things that we spoke about. Frank Timura, one second, I can understand why, since at the initial point of Zika, he was normal and she was normal, there was a din of Yim v'chalitza. But subsequently, he became a Ptsuadaka. So, Omalei Abaya, how have you answered our question? V'leisi isim Ptsuadaka. The Isra Ptsuadaka, the Nidchi Ese the Yibam, and it should go and push away the mitzvah of Yibam. So you're going to say, well, once the mitzvah of Yibam was there, it's there, and Ptsuadaka doesn't push it away. Miloy Tanan, I'll bring you a case from a future Mishnah. We've discussed this in the past in the Gemara, about the case of Ram Gamliel Oimer Imianam Nianav Imlav Tam Tanan Shetagdu Vetaitzel Luzu Misha Machois Isha. What is this case all about? So the Mishnah is later on Kuftes. Our Gemara doesn't quote the first part of the Mishnah, but the first part of the Mishnah, I believe, is Reb Lezer, where you have a situation of two brothers are married to two sisters. One brother is married to Achois HaGedoyla, the other one is married to the Achois HaKetana. And that Achois Ketana is talking about a situation where she was married off by her mother or by an older brother. So the Kedushin was a Kedushin Dirabana, not a Kedushin Diaraisa. And the husband of the Achois HaGedoyle Nebuch passed away. And now the surviving brother, who's married to the Achois Ketana, would like to go and be Miyabim her. But he can't, because he's married to the sister of that Zika, of the sister-in-law. So what is he going to do? So now, at the moment, it's oiloi mi ishtoi, oiloi mi yevemtoi. Why is it oiloi? On the one hand, he cannot go mi miyabim the yevama, because it's an achois ishtoi. It's an achois ishtoi dirabanan, but it's an achois ishtoi nevertheless. So mi dirabanan, he can't go.
Also, right? No, it's the other way, I'm sorry.
The lady that fell lezika, the yevama, is she an achoy ziku kasa?
No, she's a zika herself. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So start again. He now is between, what's the English expression, between a rock and a hard place. He cannot go in miyabim the yevama, because yevama happens to be achoy ishtoi. It's not achoy ishtoi diraisa, it's an achoy ishtoi drabana. But he can't be over the drabana, so he cannot go and be miyabim. On the other hand, he cannot continue living with his wife, because his wife is Achosukukase. It's the sister of his Zika. Also Drabana. Abelamais, it's right to Asr. So now he is Asr to both his own wife, and he's Asr also to the other young lady. So what should he do under these circumstances? So Reb Lezer in the Mishnah says, I have a wonderful idea. We go over to the Achois Ketana, and we say to Achois Ketana, you can't live with your husband anyway, because as he zichs kavis to do intin the mitzvah. The wife speaks the guy intin.
We tell the younger brother.
Yeah, so Reb Lezer says we go and teach the younger, the Achois Ketana, to go and be Mima Enes in her husband. In other words, since she's still a Ketana, at any point in time she can go and say, I'm Menes. Menes means I refuse to continue. I retract, I withdraw, I refuse any one of those wonderful ishainis. I no longer going to live with this husband. When she makes that statement, they are no longer married, and this is not that they get divorced, but they are. It's as if they were never married ab initio, as if they were never married l'mafreya. So she has that ability to be married. So now we tell her, you can't live with your husband anyway, so Anyway, there's no purpose in there's no loss, right? And therefore, there'll be a major gain. Because as a result of the fact that you are going to be Mimenes, now your sister will be able to go and marry your husband. So at least, Baruch Hashem, we have saved your sister and saved your husband. Well, she's not the happiest person alive, but okay.
And if they had children?
I'm sorry?
If they had children?
If they had children. Since she's a Ketana, yeah. She could not have children.
And if she did anyway?
If she did, she could. I mean, 12 years old, she couldn't.
Right. Now, the Gemara says that if she is Mimenes, by definition, means she's a Ketana, and a Ketana is not capable of having children. In other words, she's below the age of 12 years old, she's below the age of puberty, and therefore she does not have reproductive organs to go and produce children. That being the case, this girl can go Mimenes. So that seems to be a one easy way, not easy way, but it's a way out of this
solution.
Quandary. A solution. Rav Gamliel says, if she's willing to do that, it's good. But what happens if she says, no, I refuse, I love this husband, my sister will find another husband, I'm not interested. So what do we do? Okay, so the continuum mission, we get to the Mishnah Daf Kuf Tes, we're going to discuss it in greater detail. But in the meantime, what does Rabbi Gamliel say? Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Emiana, Miana. If she's willing to be menace, it's good. Vimlav, if not, Tamten Achetakvil. Okay, the husband has to wait. Everybody has to wait until she gets older. We might have to wait a year or two when she becomes a Gedoyla. And at that point, the Teitzi Halazu, and then the other sister, that's the Achois Gedoyla, Teitzi Halazu, Misham Achois Isha. She'll leave the scene automatically. There won't be a din of Yibam V'chalitza because of the fact that it's Achois Ishtai. So what is Abaya trying to prove from that case? We see Alma, at the moment when the original brother passed away, leaving over the Yavama, there was a Zika, there was a Chiv. You couldn't do anything about it because of the Issa Drabbanon of the fact that it was an Achois Ishtim Drabbanon. But Minat Oira, there was absolutely a Chiv of Yibam V'chalit. What happened is, we waited a year or two. Now this Achois Tana now is a Gdoila. Now, 2 years later, the other lady, meaning the Yavama, now becomes Asura because of Achois Isha. So what do you see? You see, Alma Osi Isra Achois Isha, a subsequent newly formed new Isser can come and be Doicha, the Zika of a year or 2 years ago. So Hachanami wanted to say the same thing over here. Nasi Isser Betzua Venidchi. What was the teretz that Rabbi gave? Rabbi gave the reason why there was a Zika and a Chiv of Yibam Chalitza, because initially at the time of the Nebuch, the passing of the mess, he and she, that is the surviving brother and the Yavama, could have gotten married because he was totally normal, regular individual. It was only subsequently, the Psaib Nifta, later on, Nebuchadnezzar became a Betzua, and that's why we're saying that they can perform Yim V'chalitza, but also the Kaiman, but they can't continue to live with each other because we have Betzua Daka, the Khrushchev of B'chal Hashem. Says Abaya, no. Since before they had a chance to do Yim V'chalitza, he became a Betzua Daka, that should push aside the mitzvah of Yibam that was there a day ago or a month ago, before he became the Betzua Daka. Just like I see in the case of Rav Gamliel with Amiana, Amiana, that if we wait until this young lady becomes of age, then although it's a year or 2 years later, makes no difference. The Zika falls away, and the Yibam no longer is there, because she's Achois Ishtai. See here too, even though there was initially a Zika, but it fell away because it's a Betzua Daka. And again, Rav Kiva L'shitosai, that an Isser Lav has the same status like an Isser Karis, and if it's a Karis, it's an Erva, and there's no din of Yim V'chalitza. Yet the Braisa said there's a din of Yim V'chalitza. Elam Rabbi Yosef, have a brand new teretz. Hai Tana, Hach Tana, Devei Rebbe Kivehi. Rashi says that when Rabbi Yosef gives his teretz, and he says, Elam Rabbi Yosef, we no longer need to talk about the pshat that originally he was Roi Lezika, Roi Leyibam, and subsequently he became a Betzua Daka, but he was always a Betzua Daka prior to this whole case. In other words, he became a Betzua Daka 5 years ago, before his brother passed away, before the Zika began, before the whole story. You said if he's a Betzua Daka, according to Rabbi Kiva, there should not be a din of Yibam V'chalitza, because an Issa Lab is just like an Issa Karis, and therefore, Lab b'nei Chalitza V'yibam, As we know, Rabbi Kiva had a machloikis between his Talmidim as to what Rabbi Kiva really held. Did he hold that all Chayovi Lavin are like Chayovi Krisis? Or only Chayovi Lavin Disha'er? Chayav Elav Nisha'er means Chayav Elav, and that are based on a relationship, based on a marriage somewhere. If it was based on a relationship, that's a mamzer. Chayav Elav in Grady lo yav a mamzer. But if it's talking about a Chayav Elav, no mamzer. What would be a case of Chayav Elav Nisha'er? Our Gemara doesn't go into it. The Rashi and Daf Mem Tes gives two examples. If a person is over on the Isser of lo yigale knaf aviv, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is an Isser for a person to marry or to live with anusas aviv. So the anusas aviv means that this Isser of marrying or living with the anusas aviv is based on not just a lav, a legale knaf aviv, but it's a lav which is coupled with she'er. There was a relationship. In other words, this young lady was at one time lived with that guy's father. It wasn't Aishas of it, but it was Anusas of it. So that would be one case of Chayav Elav Nisha'er, that according to everybody, according to Rabbi Akiva, this would be deemed like a Chayav Ekrisis, and the child would be a mamzer if there's a child from that relationship. Another case he gives is, says Rashi, again back on Daf Mem Tes, if a person were to go and marry his own Chalutzosai. As we know, if a person gives a chalitza to a yavama, he's not allowed to go and marry her subsequently. And the reason is because kimin shloi bana shavla yivne. So that's an iser lav shavla yivne, and it's a lav d'she'er because it was a relationship over here that she initially was his sister-in-law, and there was a chalitza here. If he now violates that by going and marrying her, oh, so then we'd have a chayav lav d'she'er. There, everybody agrees that according to Rabbi Akiva, that Chayav Elavin gets escalated and elevated to an upper class Chayav Ekrisis status. Not really Chayav Ekrisis, but the same. And therefore, the child of such a relationship would be a mamzer. Aha. However, here we're talking about Chayav Elavin Gredi. Chayav Elavin Gredi means we're talking about a Ptsua Dak and Krishavcha. Nebuch, an individual, had this terrible accident, or a machla, whatever, and Nebuch, he had a problem with his gid, he has a problem with his bayim. Okay, so this has nothing to do with Chayav Elav Nisha'er, this is Chayav Elav Gredi. According to this view of Rabbi Akiva, Chayav Elav Gredi lo yahave mamzer. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah. He's not the Rabbi Akiva that we think of, that all Chayav Elavim have the din of Chayav Ekrisis, they're all mamzerim, and therefore there's no din of Yimim Chalit. So we're talking about those that hold Aliva the Rabbi Akiva, that only Chayav Elav Nisha'er gets so elevated. But a regular Chayav Elavim is a Chayav Elavim. Since the Chayav Elav and the mitzvah of Yibam still applies, but they're not allowed to continue living together because they're still allowed the Yibam Tzudak. Frank Dimor, I have another kasha. Now, we've gone through the kashas based on how Rebbe Akiva and our Mishnah allows for Chayav for Cholzin. Isn't it Issa Lav? We went through the kasha of the Braisa. But now the Gemara starts again asking, I don't understand Rebbe Akiva. What does it say in the Mishnah? A Swiss Adam, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Chayav Chazak Ishmael, Shahoitza Lishasa Kosha. Shasa Kosha means that until yesterday, until a year ago, until 5 years ago, he was able to father children. Now he can no longer father children. Faith Dimara, who cares what happened yesterday or last year or 5 years ago? Today, is he able to father children? No. Ikri Khan, so why don't we go and say, it says in the Pasuk, that the whole purpose of Yibim is Lahakim Li Achim Shem. He cannot be make him shame because, unfortunately, it's never hashem. But he cannot be make him shame because he's sterile. So, Ibazoi, what difference does it make the history? Yeah. 50 years ago, he was the strongest guy who could have fathered 100 children. Mazel tov. But he can't father any children today. Amar Rabba says, Rabba, I'll tell you. Im kein in lecho isha shikshera liyavam liyabim, shlein nasa bala srischama sho achas koinum misosai. Says, Rabba, no, this svara of Rabbi Akiva, of the Shasa Kosher, this is really the right Svara. Because in every single case, every mess that passed away, the last hour before he passed away, he was so shvach, he was not Roy Labi, he was not Roy to go and father children. So therefore, he became a Sris at that time.
Sris Shah,
good. And Martaka says, Shah Achas. And nevertheless, there's always a din of Yibam. Why don't you go and say the person that passed away was a Saris? Every person who passes away is a Saris. He wasn't a Saris originally, he was a Saris the last hour. So he's like, forget about the last hour. He had a Shasa Koisha before. So just like he had a Shasa Koisha before, every mess had that Shasa Koisha. So the same thing, this Nebuch, this Risodom, who became a B'tzua Daka, but he had a Shasa Koisha before. So therefore, Rabbi says it's no different, no worse than every normal Yibam situation. Okay, so Rav Lechayr gave a very good teretz, but the teretz for Rabbi Akiva is now going to be a kasha on Reb Lezer. Because what did Reb Lezer say in the Mishnah? Reb Lezer said just the opposite of Reb Akiva. And he says, Rischam lechoitz lechoitzin, neshalei hoise shas. I'm sorry. Reb Lezer oimeloi ki ela srischam lechoitz lechoitzin, neshiesh lerefuah. Srisadam is no refuah. As Zoktimari has Reb Lezer, piruka derava, pirchehi. The teretz that Rava gave Aliba de Reb Akiva is now akasha on Reb Lezer. Why? Because Reb Lezer says, I don't care your shasa kosher, nishasa kosher. That's not the determining factor. Determining factor is there refuah or is there no refuah? So let me ask you, Reb Lezer, every single person who passed away, every single ness, shortly before he passed away, that last hour, he was not able to have children. He was not able to father children. So therefore, he was a saris. Were we able to go and give a refuah to that individual? No, because the person died. So obviously, no refuah could have helped that guy. That being the case, if he didn't have a refuah, so now why don't we go and say that there's never a din of yibum, because every single mess became a soros at the end of his life, and it was a soros she'ein le refuah, and a soros she'ein le refuah, Reb Lezer said in the Mishnah, ein cholzen lechoydes v'lecholdzen liyishtoy, ne'she'ein le refuah, nebuchadnezzar refuah, he couldn't have a refuah, he died, and therefore he's a soros, so say every single Soros should be able to go and be choylitz, just like your normal mess, you're able to be choylitz, and you don't worry about the fact that he became a soros at the end. The reason why we don't worry is because he had a shasa kosher before. Oh, so that's the svar of Rabbi Akiva. It's like Shemen Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Akiva is a sound svar, she has a shasa kosher. That's the reason why every yibum chalitza. So the same thing should apply to a soros. Everything Gemara hasab kishusa d'aschila bay. It's not really that he's a soros, so to speak. What happens is, he's just too shvach. Halavai, if you were able to go and strengthen this person, reinvigorate him, he'd be restored to all of his abilities. It's just nebuchadnezzar nishka koyach. So it's not that he has the status of sterile. He remains a person that is able to have children, to father children. His koyches are nebuchadnezzar ebbing away, fading away, and that's the reason why. But that doesn't cause him to become a soros, and therefore, Reb Lezer says that's not an appropriate raya, the teretz of Rav. Now, question asks, hey, chidami suris chama, we said in the Mishnah, the difference between Adam suris chama. Suris chama, we said, means that as Rav Akiva taished, he never had a shas akosha. Remember, you on the last line. What does that mean? Omer Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Omer Rav Yochanan, kol shaloi ro'o sho'achas bikashrusoi. What does that mean? It says Rashi, shaloka mime'ei imoi. From the first day that he was born, he was never able to go and father children. That's the Sreshama for our purposes. Frank Timora, this was the Kasha, or the Shaila that Brother Shai asked about a half an hour ago. Mino Yadiran, can you go and ask the baby, no, are you able to father children or not? The baby will just start crying. He has no idea what you're talking about. So in Bazoi, how can you tell? Any child or any person who, when he goes to the bathroom, he's not able to have a stream coming out like an arc, but rather it just drips out loosely and not like a stream. Oh, that's a simon that this person has some major medical issue that he is not able to go and father children. And Mirat Hashem tomorrow will continue weiter. The art of the Vekim Hashem Alekeichem Chaim Kol Chamayoyim of Allah Zayin Gezint. Brother Shai, are you going to be back soon?
Yeah, I got rolling tomorrow.
Machal Yeh Hoysa Zeh. We look forward to your return, Mirat Hashem.
Yeah, and this was a two-hour oil. It was a katana. Yeah, I guess you